This is Audible.
Audible Frontiers presents The Human Division, written by John Scalzi, narrated by William Dufries. Episode 2, Walk the Plank. Transcript begins. Kenzira El-Masri.
Okay, I'm not really interested in who you have in the medical bay, RL. Right now, I'm focused on finding those damn cargo containers. If we don't track those down, it's not going to be a very happy next few months around here.
Orel Spurlia. If I didn't think the two of them were related, I wouldn't be bothering you, Chen. Are you recording this, Magda?
Magda Ganis. Just started the recorder.
Spurlia.
Chen, the guy in the sick bay isn't from around here.
El-Masri. What do you mean, not from around here? We're a wildcat colony. It's not like there's anywhere else to be from around here.
Spurlia. He says he's from the Erie Morning Star.
El-Masri.
That doesn't make any sense. The Erie Morning Star isn't supposed to be landing anyone. It's supposed to be sending down the containers on autopilot. The whole point of doing it this way is to take humans out of it.
Ganis. We know that, Chen. We were there when the cargo schedules were drawn up, too. That's why you need to see this guy. No matter what else, he's not one of us. He's come from somewhere. And since the Erie Morning Star was supposed to deliver 2 days ago and he's here today, it's not a bad guess that he's telling the truth when he says he's from there.
El-Masri.
So you think he came down on one of the containers?
Ganis. It seems likely.
El-Masri.
Well, that wouldn't have been a fun ride.
Spurlia.
Here we are.
Chen, a couple of things real quick. One, he's messed up physically and we have him on pain relievers.
El-Masri.
I thought I gave orders, Spurlia. Before you bitch at me, we've watered them down as much as we can and still have them have any effect. But believe me, this guy needs something. Two, he's got the rot in his leg.
El-Masri.
How bad?
Spurlia.
Real bad. I cleaned it out best I can, but it's a pretty good chance it's in the bloodstream by now, and you know what that means. But he's not from around here, and he doesn't know what that means, and I don't see much point in telling him at this point. My goal is to keep him coherent long enough for you to talk to him and then keep him from too much pain while we figure out what to do with him after that.
El-Masri. Christ, Orel. If he's got the rot, I think you know what to do with him.
Spurlia. I'm still waiting for the blood work to come back. If it's not set in there, we can take the leg and save him.
El-Masri.
And then do what with him? Look around, Orel. It's not like we can support anyone else here, much less a recovering amputee who can't do any work.
Ganis. Maybe you should talk to him first, before deciding to leave him out for the packs.
El-Masri. I'm not unsympathetic to his situation, Magda, but my job is to think about the whole colony.
Ganis. What the whole colony needs right now is for you to hear this guy's story. Then you'll have a better idea what to think.
El-Masri. What's this guy's name?
Spurlia.
Malik Dominus.
El-Masri.
Malik. Fine.
Door opening. Stops. El-Masri. Quietly.
Lovely.
Spurlia.
There's a reason we call it the rot.
El-Masri.
Yeah.
Door opens all the way. El-Masri.
Malik. Hey, Malik.
Malik Dominus.
Yes. Sorry, I was dozing.
El-Masri.
Oh, that's fine.
Dominus.
Is Dr. Spurlia here? I think the pain is coming back.
Spurlia.
I'm here. I'll give you another shot, Malik, but it's going to have to wait for a few minutes. I need you to be all here for your conversation with our colony leader.
Dominus.
That's you?
El-Masri.
Yeah, that's me. My name is Kenzira El-Masri.
Dominus.
Malik Dominus. I guess you knew that.
El-Masri.
I did. Malik, Orel and Magda here tell me that you say you're from the Erie Morning Star.
Dominus.
I am.
El-Masri.
What do you do there?
Dominus.
I'm an ordinary deckhand. I mostly work loading and unloading cargo.
El-Masri.
You look pretty young. This your first ship?
Dominus.
I'm 19 standard, sir. No, I was on another ship before this, the Shining Star. I've been doing this since I turned 20 in Erie years, which is about 16-year standard. This is my first tour on the Morningstar, though. Or was.
El Masri. Was, you say? Dominus.
Yes, sir. She's gone, sir.
El Masri. Gone as in left? She's gone off to her next destination. Dominus.
No. Gone as in gone, sir. She was taken, and I think everyone else who was on her might be dead now.
El Masri. Malik, I think you need to explain this to me a little better. Was the ship all right when you skipped into our system? Dominus.
As far as I know. The ship stays on Erie time, and it was in the middle of the night when we skipped. Captain Gazzini prefers to do it that way, so that when we move cargo, we can do it in the morning, when we're fresh. Or that's what he tells us. Since the cargo we had for you was already packed when it came on board, it didn't really matter. The captain does what the captain does, so we arrived in the middle of the night for us.
El Masri, were you working then? Dominus.
No, sir. I was asleep in the crew quarters, along with most of the rest of the crew. We had a night's watch on at the time. The first thing I knew about anything going on was the captain sounding a general alert. It blasted on and everyone fell out of their bunks. We didn't think anything of it at the time.
El Masri, you didn't think anything of a general alert? Doesn't that usually mean you're in an emergency?
Dominus, it does, but Captain Gazzini runs a lot of drills, sir. He says that just because we're a merchant ship doesn't mean we shouldn't have discipline. So, every three or four skips, he'll run a drill, and since the captain likes to skip in the middle of the night, that means we get woken up by a lot of general alerts.
El Masri. All right. Dominus.
So we fall out of bunks, get dressed, and then wait for the announcement about what the drill is this time. Is it a micrometeor puncture, or is it a systems failure of some sort, or what is it? Then finally, Chief Officer Kosa comes on the public address system and says, "We are being boarded." And we all look at each other because this is a new one. We haven't ever practiced something like this. We have no idea what to do. Doctor, my leg is really hurting.
Spurlia. I know, Malik. I'll give you something as soon as you're done talking. Dominus.
Can I get something in the meantime? Anything?
Ganes.
I can give him some ibuprofen.
Spurlia. We're running low on that, Magda.
Ganes. I'll take it out of my own stash.
Spurlia.
All right.
Ganes.
Malik, I'm going to go get you that ibuprofen. It will be just a minute.
Dominus.
Thank you, Dr. Ganes.
El Masri. You said you never drilled for being boarded, but there have always been pirates.
Dominus. We've drilled for being pursued by pirates. For most of the crew locks down, while defensive teams prep countermeasures and the cargo crew preps to jettison the cargo. We work in space. Pirates can't swing over on ropes and take a ship. They run you down and threaten you to get you to hand over your cargo. Only then do they board the ship, take the cargo, and go. That's why the last resort is throwing out the cargo. If you don't have it anymore, then they have no reason to keep pursuing you.
El Masri. So these weren't pirates.
Dominus. We didn't know what they were. At first, we didn't know there was anyone. We still thought it was a drill. Chief Kosa tells us we're being boarded, and we have about 2 or 3 seconds to wonder what that means, and then he comes back on the PA and says, "This is not a drill." That's when we knew something was really up. But we didn't know what to think. We weren't drilled on this. We stood around looking at each other. Then Bosun Zorani came into the quarters, told us we were being boarded and that we were to stay in quarters until they heard from him or the captain, sounded an all clear. Then he picked 7 of us to follow him. I was one of the ones he picked.
El Masri, why did he pick you?
Dominus. Me or all of us?
El Masri. Both. Dominus.
He picked all of us to be a security detail. He picked me, I think, because I was where he could see me. I didn't know he wanted me to be part of a security detail until he took us into his office, opened up a footlocker, and started handing out shock sticks.
Spurlia. Shock sticks? Why didn't you have firearms?
Dominus. It's a spaceship. Guns with bullets aren't a good idea on any ship that works in a vacuum. And the only reason to have weapons on the ship at all is to deal with someone who's gotten into a fight or is drunk and out of control. And for that, a shock stick is what you want. You zap someone, they go down, you shove them in the brig until they sober up and calm down. So we have shock sticks. Zorani handed them out to us. There were six of them and eight of us, so I and Tariq Marani didn't have any. Bosun Zorani said that we got to be scouts and told us to tune our PDAs to a general channel so that everyone would know where the enemy was. That didn't make much sense to me. I figured that we knew where they would come in. El Masri. Through the airlocks. Dominus. Yes, sir. They'd open them up from the outside and then get through that way. I think Zorani and Captain Gazzini were thinking the same thing because Zorani took two of the crew with the shock sticks with him to the port maintenance airlock, while the other three went to the starboard maintenance airlocks. But we were wrong. El Masri. How did they get in? Dominus. They cut through the hull forward and aft and dropped in maybe a dozen soldiers in each spot. I saw the aft breach and the soldiers dropping in and yelled into my PDA about it and then ran because the soldiers were carrying assault rifles. Spurlia. I thought you didn't want projectile weapons on a spaceship. Dominus. We don't, sir. The soldiers did. Their job was to take over the ship, and maybe they thought that since they were cutting a couple of holes through the hull anyway, was a few bullet holes here and there, right?
Ganis. Here we go. Three tablets.
Dominus. Thank you.
Ganis. Let me get you some water.
Dominus. It's too late. I already swallowed them. How long will it take for it to start working?
Ganis. Those were extra strength, so not long at all.
Dominus. That's good. My leg hurts a lot. I think it's getting worse.
Spurlia. Let me look.
Dominus.
Spurlia. Sorry about that.
Dominus. It's okay, doctor. It's like I told you. It hurts a lot.
Spurlia. I'll see what I can do about cleaning it out again after we're done talking here.
Dominus. I'll definitely need some real painkillers for that. The last time you did it, I thought I was going to hit the roof.
Spurlia. I'll be as careful as I can.
Dominus. I know you're doing your best, Dr. Spurlia.
El Masri.
You say these were soldiers. Were they Colonial Defense Forces?
Dominus.
I don't think so. They weren't wearing CDF uniforms. These were bulkier and black, and there were helmets covering their heads. We couldn't see their faces or much of anything else. I suppose that makes sense, since they were coming in from space.
Ganis. If they were cutting through the hull, wouldn't bulkheads close off to contain the breach?
Dominus. I think they're supposed to, but the automatic systems are sensitive to pressure loss. These guys were coming through without any air going out behind them. I think they must have made a temporary airlock on the outside hull before they cut through.
El Masri.
Your captain still could have thrown up the bulkheads to keep them contained.
Dominus.
The forward breach was right above the bridge deck. The very first thing they did, as far as I can tell, was to take the bridge and Captain Gazzini. Once they had the bridge, they had control of the ship. I was told by one of the bridge crew that when they came through, they ordered the captain to give them his command codes. He refused, and they shot Chief Kosa in the gut. He was lying, screaming on the deck, and they told the captain they would gut shoot every person on the bridge unless he gave over the codes. Once the captain did that, they shot Kosa through the head to put him out of his misery, and then they had the ship.
El Masri.
What happened then?
Dominus.
The soldiers went through the ship and collected the crew at gunpoint and took them to the cargo bay. I and the others on the security detail were trying to avoid the soldiers as long as we could, but eventually they found us all. I got caught near the mess hall. I stepped out into a corridor, and there was a soldier on either side of me, rifles pointed at my chest and head. I tried going back where I was, but when I turned, there was another soldier behind me, rifle up. I put up my hands, and that was it. I was taken to the cargo bay like everyone else.
El Masri.
And through all of this, none of the soldiers told you what they wanted?
No, sir.
When I was taken to the cargo deck, I saw all the other crew members on the deck, kneeling, hands behind their heads. The only one standing was Bosun Zarani, who was quoting Colonial Union Merchant Maritime Law to one of the soldiers. The soldiers seemed to ignore him for a little while, then drew a sidearm. He shot the bosun in the face, and then Zarani was dead. And that was it for anyone asking questions.
Spurlia. So the entire crew was there. Dominus.
Everyone but the captain and a helmsman named Kalat and Kosa, but he was dead anyway.
El-Masri.
So you were all in the cargo bay. How did you get from there to here, Malik?
Dominus.
The Erie Morningstar had 4 autopilot container carriers. 2 of them were full of the supplies for your colony. The other 2 were empty. The soldiers opened up those 2 and ordered us in. Half into one, half into the other.
El-Masri. And you just went in.
Dominus. A couple of us resisted. They shot them in the head. They didn't waste any time talking to us or bargaining with us. As far as I can tell, except for the ones on the bridge getting the command codes from the captain, they didn't talk at all. There was no point in it, and they didn't have to talk to get us to do what they wanted.
El-Masri.
After you were all in, what happened next?
Dominus.
They sealed us into the cargo containers. Everything went pitch black and people started screaming, and then a couple of us turned their PDAs on so their screens would give light. That seemed to calm people a bit. After that, we could hear the sounds of people moving and talking. The soldiers would apparently talk to each other, not to us, but I couldn't hear anything clear enough to make out what they were saying or doing. And then there was another sound. It was the sound of the cargo bay's purge cycle. That's when people started screaming again. It meant the cargo bay door was being opened and we were being thrown out.
Ganas.
They were tossing the crew over the side.
Dominus.
Yes, ma'am. Although, one of the crew members in my container suggested something else. Once the container started moving and it was clear it was thrown off the ship, someone in the container started screaming, "We're walking the plank! We're walking the plank! We're walking the plank!" He kept doing this for a minute or two before I heard a thump and he shut up. I think someone punched him to make him quiet.
El-Masri. The cargo containers aren't designed for live transport.
Dominus. No, sir. They are airtight and they're insulated, so the cargo inside won't freeze in space or heat up excessively on re-entry, but there's also no artificial gravity or anywhere to secure yourself. The closest thing to that are the pallet restraints at the bottom of the container. We use them to strap down the cargo pallets, but they don't do much good if you're not a pallet. I still grabbed one and tied it to my arm as close as I could to the restraint anchor, so at least I wouldn't go floating off. I thought it might help when we hit the atmosphere.
El-Masri. Did it?
Dominus. A little. We hit the atmosphere and everything began to shake and move. I held on to my pallet strap, but even then I was being whipped back and forth as the strap rotated around its anchor. I'd be slammed to the floor of the container, whip around in an arc, and be slammed down again on the other side. I curled into a ball as much as I could and put my arms around my head to protect it, but it wasn't enough. I lost consciousness a couple of times in there. If I hadn't wrapped the strap around my arm, I would have been flung up into the container with the others.
Ganas.
What happened to the others?
Dominus.
People began to be slammed into walls and floors and into each other, harder and faster as we dropped. A couple of times people hit me, but I was down near the floor, so most of the time they were hitting each other or the walls. They were screaming as they were flying about, and every once in a while you would hear a snap, and then someone's screaming would either get louder or it would stop. After one really hard bump, a woman hit the floor next to me head first, and I could hear her neck go. She stopped screaming. There were at least 50 of us in the container. I'd guess about 10 or 15 people died during re-entry. Maybe that many others broke their arms or legs.
Spurlia.
It was a good thing you held on to that strap.
Dominus. Laughs.
Look at my leg now, Doc. Tell me again how lucky I am.
Ganis. Is the ibuprofen helping now?
Dominus.
A little. May I have some water now, please?
Ganis.
Yes, of course.
El-Masri.
Once you made it through the first part of the atmosphere, did things settle?
Dominus.
Some. The autopilot kicked in and stabilized us. But then the parachutes deployed and everyone who was still floating was jammed to the floor of the container. That was more broken bones, but then at least everyone was on the floor of the container because gravity had finally taken hold. Then there was a crashing sound and everyone was thrown around. We were going through the trees, or whatever you have here for trees. Then there was a final crash. The container fell on its sides. The doors flew open, and we were finally on the ground.
Ganis.
Your water.
Dominus.
Thank you.
Spurlia.
What was your physical condition at that point, Malik?
Dominus.
I was hurt pretty badly. I'm pretty sure I had a concussion. But I could walk, and I didn't have any broken bones. I unwrapped myself from the pallet strap, and I headed for the door, and as I got outside, some of the crew who had gotten out before me were standing in a small clearing, looking up and pointing. So I looked up where they were looking.
El-Masri.
What were they pointing at?
Dominus.
It was the other cargo container. It was tumbling and falling. The autopilot must have gotten damaged or something because it wasn't stabilizing itself and its parachutes didn't deploy. We watched it tumble for 20-30 seconds, and then the trees got in the way and we couldn't see it anymore. Then a few seconds later, we heard the sound of trees breaking and a huge crash. The container had hit the ground at close to full speed. If anyone had still been alive in that container before it hit, they didn't survive after. At least, I don't see how they could.
El-Masri.
Did you see any other containers falling?
Dominus.
I stopped looking after that.
El-Masri.
Malik, will you excuse me for a moment?
Dominus.
Yes, sir.
Does this mean we're done talking now? Can I get that shot now?
El-Masri.
Hold on a minute, Malik. I'll be back to ask you some more questions.
Dominus.
My leg is really hurting, sir.
El-Masri.
It won't be long. Aurel, Magda?
Door opens, closes.
El-Masri. Why did you bring that recorder out here?
Ganis.
Malik isn't going to say anything unless you're there.
El-Masri.
Is it turned off right now?
Ganis.
Yes.
El-Masri.
Where did Malik come from? From what direction, I mean?
Spurlia.
The couple who found him said they saw him come out of the forest to the east of the colony.
El-Masri.
Do we have any people looking for the containers in that direction?
Spurlia.
Magda?
Ganis.
We sent out 5 teams, and they all headed in different directions, so at least one of them is headed in an easterly direction.
El-Masri.
Recall the other teams and have them go east as well. There's a chance our supplies are in that direction.
Spurlia.
You think pirates are going to eject cargo, Chen?
El-Masri.
I think whoever took over the Eerie Morningstar were interested in the ship, not the cargo. That's why they kept the captain and the helmsman and made everyone else walk the plank. It's entirely possible they tossed out the cargo with the crew. If they did, then we need to find it. We need those supplies.
Ganis.
What about the survivors?
El-Masri.
What survivors?
Ganis.
Malik said that at least some of the crew in his container survived the landing. Do you want our people to go looking for them too?
El-Masri.
I think our first priority is looking for those supplies, Magda.
Ganis.
That's pretty harsh, Chen. These people literally fall out of the sky and crash land here, and you're not in the least concerned about them?
El-Masri. Look, I'm not going to apologize for the fact that when push comes to shove, I'm going to put the people of this colony before everyone else. This is why you all hired me as your colony leader, remember? You wanted someone with frontier experience, who is familiar with the tough decisions you have to make on the bleeding edge of human civilization. This is one of those decisions, Magda.
Do we prioritize finding supplies for our people who are healthy but won't be very soon if we don't get the soil treatments and seed stock and emergency rations that were in the cargo shipment the Yuri Morningstar had in her? Or do we prioritize a bunch of people we don't know, the majority of whom it would seem are injured or dying, who would be nothing but a drain on our almost non-existent resources? I'm the colony leader. I have to make a choice, and I choose us. Now, maybe you find that inhumane, but at the moment, ask me if I give a shit. This soil here kills everything we plant in it. Almost everything that grows or lives here we can't eat or is trying to kill us or both. We're down to the last 3 weeks of stores, and that's if we stretch. I have 250 people relying on me to save their lives. That's my job. I'm doing it by telling our people to look for those cargo containers first. End of story. Spurlia. At the very least, you should ask him to try to describe where it was that he landed, so that we can narrow down where we're searching. Wherever it was, he was able to walk to here from there in only a slightly better condition than he's in right now. That means it's not too far away. The more we know, the better we can find the cargo containers, if they exist.
El-Masri, you ask him.
Spurlia, if I ask him, all he's going to do is keep asking for painkillers. That was the deal. He talks to you, and when he's done, I'll give him something. So you need to do it.
El-Masri, how long until you know about his blood work? Whether he's got the rot all through his system?
Spurlia, I checked on my PDA while you were talking to him. The cultures are still growing. I'll know for sure in the next 30 minutes or so.
El-Masri, fine.
Magda, please let the search teams know to focus east, and that will hopefully give them more detailed information on where to look soon. Tell Drew Telford to send it wideband. It'll be faster than you trying to raise every party one at a time.
Ganes, what do we do if one of the search teams happens to find the Eerie Morningstar survivors?
El-Masri, note where they are, but to steer clear of them for now. If we find the cargo containers with our supplies, we can go back and deal with them. But for now, let them be. We have other priorities.
Ganes, here, Aurel. Make sure to record everything Malik says.
Spurlia,
will do.
El-Masri, all right, let's get back in there.
Door opens, closes. Dominus,
I thought you had forgotten about me.
El-Masri,
we wouldn't do that, Malik.
Dominus,
that's good to hear. I'm sorry to take up so much of your time. You must be busy as colony leader.
El-Masri,
well, talking to you has been helpful, and you can be a little more helpful to me still, Malik.
Dominus,
how can I do that?
El-Masri,
I need you to tell me everything you can about where you landed and how you got here from there. That will help us find where you landed and might help us find the rest of your crew.
Dominus,
I'll tell you, but I don't think you'll find the rest of my crew. I think they're all dead.
El-Masri,
you said that at least a few of your crewmates were alive when you landed. You've survived so far, so it stands to reason some of them might as well.
Dominus,
El-Masri,
why are you shaking your head?
Spurlia, Malik, did something else happen to your crew before you came here?
Dominus,
yes.
El-Masri,
tell us about it. It could be useful to us.
Dominus,
after we landed, those of us who were mostly uninjured started helping those who were worse off. There were about 10 of us at that point. We went back into the container so we could see who was living and who was dead. The dead, we moved to one side of the container. The living, we moved out of the container so we could see how badly they were injured. About half had broken bones, but were still conscious or still able to move around. The rest were either unconscious or not able to move because they were too injured or in too much pain. We went back into the container and took the clothes off the dead to make slings and braces, and to make bandages where people were bleeding or at open breaks.
Spurlia,
so 10 relatively uninjured, about 10 or 15 somewhat injured, and the same number severely injured, the rest dead.
Dominus,
yes. May I have some more water?
Spurlia,
of course.
Dominus,
When we were done with that, those of us who were still uninjured got together to discuss what to do next. Some of us wanted to find your colony. We knew it was down here because that's why we were over your planet in the first place, and we knew you couldn't be too far away. But none of our PDA survived the fall, and we couldn't signal you or use them to keep track of whoever wandered off. Most of us wanted to build a better camp and get ourselves squared away, find some water and some food before we did anything else. I said we should move the dead out of the container and the living back in so they would at least have shelter. One guy, Nadim Davi, started talking about how we should consider the possibility of using the dead for food. We argued about that so long that we didn't notice what had happened to the forest.
El-Masri, what had happened? Dominus.
It had gone dead silent, like it does when there's a predator around, right? Everything that could get eaten just shuts up and hides. We finally noticed it when we all stopped talking. It was dead silent, except for our injured. And then...
Sperlia.
And then a pack of animals was on you.
Dominus.
You know about these things.
El-Masri.
We just call it the pack. We don't call them anything else because we've never caught one by itself. You don't see them, or you see dozens of them. There's nothing in between.
Dominus.
I didn't know that. I saw them coming out of the woods, and they reminded me of the stories my grandmother told me of hyenas in Africa. There were just so many of them. One or two for every one of us.
El-Masri.
We lost 14 people to the pack early on before we learned not to wander too far into the woods alone. We go out in groups of four or five and always go armed. They seem to have gotten good at recognizing rifles. We don't see them as much as we used to.
Dominus.
They made up for it with us. They went for the injured ones first, went right for their necks and open wounds. There was nothing we could do for them. Some of the less injured tried to run or crawl, but the pack went for their injuries too. Like they knew that was going to cause us the most pain and drag us down so they could have us. Then at least a couple of dozen got into a smaller pack and headed toward those of us who were still uninjured. Some of us tried to run and didn't notice that there was another small pack flanking us. Nadim was one of those. He went down fast, and six of them were on him before any of us could do anything. Then the rest of them came right at us.
Sperlia, how did you manage to escape?
Dominus, I didn't at first. One of the pack things bit into my calf and took a chunk of it. I managed to kick it off and then ran as fast as I could in the other direction. By that time, the rest of the crew was down, and I guess the pack decided there was more than enough where they were. They didn't need to follow me. I just kept running until my leg gave out on me.
El-Masri, do you remember which direction you mostly ran? North? South?
Dominus, I don't know. Mostly south. I remember the sun being to my right when I could see it, and I think it was morning here when we landed, so south?
El-Masri, what happened then?
Dominus, I rested, but not too long, because my leg was already beginning to hurt, and I didn't want it to stiffen up on me. I kept heading south, and after a while, maybe 10 minutes, I came to a stream. I remembered reading somewhere once that if you ever get lost in the woods that you should find a stream and then walk downstream because sooner or later you'd find civilization that way. So after I drank some water and washed out my wound, I just started walking downstream. I walked, and then I would rest for a couple of minutes, and then I would start walking again. Eventually, I came out of the woods and saw your colony. I saw a couple of people in a field.
Sperlia.
That would be the Yangs. They found him out in what was supposed to be their sorghum field.
El-Masri. Go on, Malik.
Dominus. I tried yelling to them and waving my hands, but I didn't know if they could hear me or not. Then I passed out, and when I woke up, I was here. Dr. Sperlia was trying to fix my leg. That woke me up.
El-Masri. I don't doubt that.
Dominus. And that's everything, sir. That's everything I know.
Almazri. All right.
Thank you, Malik.
Dominus.
You're welcome, sir. Can I have my painkillers now? I'm really going to start crying soon.
Spurlia. Absolutely, Malik. Give me 1 minute to talk to Chen here, and I'll come right back and hook you up.
Door opens, closes. Almazri.
Well, at least now we know how he got the rot. That pack bite would do it.
Spurlia. And if it didn't, washing the wound in the stream water did.
Almazri.
You can't blame him for not knowing that the stream is packed with the rot's bacteria.
Spurlia.
Believe me, I don't. His blood work just pinged, by the way.
Almazri.
Bad news.
Spurlia.
Don't make it sound like you care, Chen.
Almazri. Just tell me.
Spurlia.
He's got it in his blood. He's got about 24 hours before the septicemia blows him up from the inside.
Almazri.
We don't have enough painkillers for you to let him ride out that whole time, Aurel. That's how we got into this situation with the painkillers in the first place.
Spurlia.
I know.
Almazri.
You're going to take care of this, then.
Spurlia.
When I go back in, I'll give him enough to get him to sleep. I'll take care of it from there.
Almazri.
I'm sorry I have to be like this to you about it.
Spurlia.
I understand, Chen. I do. I'm just certain that when I die and meet Hippocrates, he's going to be sorely disappointed in me.
Almazri. He's going to die anyway, and painfully. You wouldn't be doing him any favors.
Spurlia.
I'm going to change the subject by saying, look, here comes Magda.
Ganis. The Easterly team found the containers with the crew from the Eerie Morning Star.
Almazri.
What's the report?
Ganis.
Everyone's dead. Death at impact at one site. Death by the pack, it looks like, at the other. They're less than a click apart, with the death by impact site being the most northerly one. The team took pictures, so if you want to have nightmares tonight, you can look.
Almazri.
No other containers?
Ganis.
If they're there, they haven't found them yet.
Almazri.
Have them keep looking. Give all the other search teams the coordinates and fan out from there.
Ganis.
How is Malik?
Spurlia.
The rot's in his blood.
Ganis.
Jesus.
Spurlia.
Just another perfect day here in New Seattle.
Almazri.
Look at it this way. It's unlikely to get much worse.
Ganis.
Don't jinx it.
Almazri.
Thank you, Aurel, Magda. I'll let you know when or if we find those supplies.
Spurlia.
Thank you, Chen.
Ganis.
There goes our right bastard.
Spurlia.
We knew what he was when we hired him.
Ganis.
I know, but it's painful to be reminded of it so frequently.
Spurlia.
Without him, we might be dead already.
Ganis.
Which is also painful to be reminded of so frequently.
Spurlia.
Come on.
We have to get Malik his painkillers.
Ganis.
Did Chen tell you to finish him off after you did?
Spurlia.
He did.
Ganis.
Will you?
Spurlia.
I don't know.
Ganis.
You're a good and decent man, Aurel. You really, truly are. How you ended up on a wildcat colony is beyond me.
Spurlia.
You're one to talk, Magda.
Let's go in.
Ganis.
All right.
Spurlia.
Then turn that off. Whatever I do, I don't want a record of it anywhere, but on my conscience.
Transcript ends. This has been an Audible Frontiers production of The Human Division, Episode 2, Walk the Plank. Written by John Scalzi. Narrated by William Dufries. Producer Mike Charzik. Copyright 2012 by John Scalzi. Production copyright 2012 by Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.